Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Before we got started with our guest this week, Chris Aubeck, Tim and I were talking about AI. And the reason is that Tim has this robotic vacuum cleaner, which is very elementary, I assume. Or does it speak back to you?
It doesn't speak back to me. It announces itself before it starts and when it finishes, but there's no interaction back and forth. That's done entirely through text, through your cell phone.
Really elementary. It doesn't say, "I'm sorry, Tim, but I cannot do that."
I could probably program it to do that and freak my wife and kid out.
Oh, that sounds like fun. Now, then, of course, we'd have to go to the UK or something and see if we can do it with Chris Aubeck.
Well, Chris is in Spain, so I'm not quite sure.
Oh, you're in Spain.
Yeah.
Oh, you're in Spain. Okay. My son's in Spain. Where in Spain are you, Chris?
Hi. Yeah. I'm in a town called Badajoz, which is in Extremadura, very old and very pretty region, slightly underdeveloped economically and in every other way. But it's a wonderful place to live, to write, to do research. Yeah, come over whenever you want to. It's full of medieval ruins, and it's also where the Templar Knights used to hang out back in the day.
Ah, I'm old enough to remember them, yes. But seriously speaking, my son lives in Madrid.
Mm-hmm.
So how far is that from you?
Well, it's about 4 hours from me. It's not too far. I spent 19 years living in Madrid, so, I mean, maybe I bumped into him at some point. They were really wonderful years, and it was only because of the pandemic, actually, that I lost my job there, and I decided to live in a quieter area. These days, I give classes online, English classes. And everything seems to be going well. I mean, the difference, if you rent an apartment in Madrid, it's about 1,000 euros, 1,200. So it's about that. I think it's the same in dollars, more or less. Where I'm living now, it's 360 euros.
Well, I think so. I'm going to pack right now.
Yeah.
I live near Phoenix, Arizona. You do not know what I pay for rent here. My son, he's lived in Madrid since 2008, and he does English language stuff online.
The same as me.
Yes, his name is Grayson Steinberg.
Mm-hmm.
If you ever encounter him, tell him you're going to send...
That's an unforgettable name. If I come across that name, I'll definitely say hello. Yeah.
Maybe you can send an alien artifact his way.
Okay.
Chris has a couple of books I want to discuss, and each book is worth 5 shows. I've already read some of this, but this is great historical material. The first is Alien Artifacts, and the subtitle of it is The Forgotten Story of How We Came to Believe in Visitors from the Stars. And, of course, ancient aliens is something we all are interested in, but Chris has gone deeper into finding the sources. The other book is Saucers, Tracing the Origins of Disc-Shaped UFOs. And we learn in that a few things maybe we didn't know about the so-called, quote-unquote, first modern UFO sighting from Kenneth Arnold on June 24, 1947. Was it 9 disc-shaped objects, 9 ellipsoid objects, 9 whatever? You know, I wanted to just bring one thing up before we get started with the nitty-gritty here. You mentioned in your book, Chris, about Ray Palmer's association with Kenneth Arnold. But mm-hmm. evidently, Arnold was promised a fairly big amount of money for mm-hmm. the early 1950s, and Palmer didn't pay him. What's going on there?
Yeah, that's right. According to the legend, and according to the legend, who is Jerome Clark, who I consulted before I published the book, and I spoke to Kim Arnold, Arnold's daughter. Yeah, Kenneth Arnold was offered, a very large sum, thousands and thousands, by Doubleday in the 1950s or the late 1940s, perhaps, to publish his version of events. It would have changed his life. It was a substantial sum, but Ray Palmer, being the man that he was, said, "No, look, I have a much better idea. Let's write a book together, and that way you'll have more control over your version of the facts." And obviously, Palmer was a really good writer. I mean, he deserves all the credit for so many of these fascinating stories that he published, and amazing stories, and all of his magazines. So Arnold said, "Yeah, let's do it that way then. Let's make more money." Because that's what Palmer promised him. And of course, Kenneth Arnold was a businessman at heart. He'd started several businesses, even a uranium business at one point. Attracted to that offer, he published this with Palmer. And according to Arnold's family and what Arnold has said himself to people like Jerome Clark back in the day, he didn't receive any money for it. Palmer just didn't pay him or didn't give him his share. I don't know whether that's because the book didn't sell particularly well, whether Palmer just, his plan all along was to keep the money. I don't know. Ray Palmer was a very strange man. And I don't know what his plans were. But, I mean, as John Keel said, Ray Palmer invented flying saucers for the world, which isn't true, of course. But it's true that he reinvented Kenneth Arnold because he had such a massive impact on him, his beliefs. And obviously, Palmer popularized the field of UFOs, of flying saucers. And yeah, I imagine that if it hadn't been for Ray Palmer, these days we wouldn't be talking about them right now.
That's very likely. I knew Palmer slightly. I met him once in 1965, shows you how old I am, and I talked to him on the phone a few times. I even knew Richard Shaver, by the way. We visited his little cottage in Summit, Arkansas, where he and his wife Dorothy served us dinner. But they were frugal kind of people. They didn't have a lot of money, so the dinner was kind of bare. You know, maybe one step above the TV dinner, but they were just really, really nice people. And I did an interview with them, too. But Palmer is responsible for me continuing in this UFO field. Because in his magazine, Flying Saucers, which originally was Flying Saucers from Other Worlds because it descended from what started out as a sci-fi magazine, I guess to compete with Amazing. And they had a section called Saucer Club News, where people would announce their flying saucer clubs. Most of these people were teenagers like me. And I put my announcement in there for my little flying saucer club, and other people put their announcements. And I wrote back and forth to a few of them, and we ended up with Alan Greenfield, and we ended up with Jerome Clark, and lots of other really, really smart people who have become lifelong friends from Ray Palmer. So we have him to thank for that. I think also one problem with Palmer, and of course we can't know what was in his mind right now, is that he always oversold what he did. And it's possible, I'm not going to be charitable about it, but I don't know, he could have really believed that if he published Arnold's book with some embellishments, I gather, from what really happened, especially Maury Island, that he'd sell lots of books and they both make a lot of money, and it didn't turn out that way. So maybe he was too optimistic too. Because I never heard of anybody saying Palmer ripped them off. So I just don't know what happened there. I will say something else about Palmer before we get on to the origins. And that's our next segment with Chris Aubeck. And Tim Swartz and Gene Steinberg, you're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices start at just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
This is an urgent warning. America is heading for another major financial disaster at an alarming rate. We could see stock prices fall as much as 50%, but this time the crash could be more violent and come faster than you ever imagined. We are Advantage Gold, America's most trusted precious metals company, and we are here to sound the alarm that winter is coming for investors. And now is the time to take actions that may help protect and secure your portfolio with physical precious metals. Want to help protect your hard-earned money before it's too late? Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000 and request our free gold and silver survival kit today. Mention that you heard us on the radio and learn how you could get up to $1,000 in free silver coins. The number is 800-900-8000. Call now to get your free survival kit and see if you qualify for $1,000 in free silver today.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded.
So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
It's obvious. The unthinkable continues. Most Americans know something very wrong is happening. People in charge keep telling you that everything's fine and to stop noticing. But you know better. That's why self-reliant folks are investing in emergency food storage. And you should, too. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, are the ones you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling three-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $200 on each three-month food kit you purchase. My Patriot Supply also sells solar generators, gravity-powered water filters, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items ship that same day and arrive quickly on your doorstep in unmarked boxes. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. Time is running out to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Talking about Ray Palmer briefly before we go on to case histories, Palmer always had provocative editorials because he wanted people to fill the readers' columns with responses. And the nice thing about readers' columns, you didn't have to pay the writer because they were contributed free and they'd respond to them and fill space. And A guy that we all have heard of, Otto Binder, was a friend of Palmer's. He published a magazine called Space World that he sold to Palmer. He was famous as a comic book writer who, in the early days, wrote continuity comics for Captain Marvel, that later became Shazam, and also created Supergirl and the Legion of Superheroes for DC Comics. Otto said to me a couple of times that Palmer would write things not because he believed them, but because it'd get a stir out of his audience and fill those columns with free material. What do you think, Chris?
Yeah, I'm entirely sure that he did. Apart from that, I mean, when you look at the 1952 book that Ken Funnell did with Ray Palmer, The Coming of the Sources, you can see that Palmer took the original report that Kenneth Arnold had made about the Maury Island incident, and he added an extra day. He added a period. For example, in the original article, Arnold's flight to Yakima in Washington is dated July the 30th, but in the book, the events pushed back to July the 29th. And it's obvious this was done deliberately, because what it did, it gave them a day more of narrative to create tension and so on. But I mean, if you look at the declassified FBI documents, you can see that the original article was right. So I feel sorry, in a sense, for Arnold, because I think that, I don't know to what extent Palmer manipulated that story for the book. I don't know whether he spoke to Arnold about this first, but I always got the sense that Kenneth Arnold was a very sincere, very honest person. He wouldn't have played around with the chronology of events just to make the narrative more intense. Another thing about Ray Palmer, of course, is that in those years from 1945 onwards, he did speculate about the possibility we'd be visited by aliens in the late 1940s. That's something that I found very interesting, because a long time ago, I've put this in the book together with the actual illustrations that I found. There was a tale published in the year 1902. It was written by a woman called Lillian C. Pascal, and she writes about aliens visiting the Earth in the year 1948. She writes about how a strange, gigantic, bird-like object descends near to miners in Montana, and there's this creature, who's a Martian, of course, with a big, large eye in the center of his head, says he'd been studying Earth from afar, and it had this eye had this strange power to force anyone in its gaze to speak the absolute truth, regardless of their intentions.
It's just like Wonder Woman's rope.
Exactly like Wonder Woman's rope. And this just caused such havoc on Earth in this story published in 1902. So on the one hand, you could say that Ray Palmer was right. I mean, in the sense that other people had predicted that in the late 40s, aliens would come to Earth. He wasn't the first. And then, of course, when Arnold had his sighting, he was probably elated that this happened, because he could say, I was right. I got the date right. And then I do wonder whether that creature, that sort of cyclops from Mars, if he'd stared at Ray Palmer, I don't know whether Ray Palmer would have said whether he truly believed this or not. It would have been interesting. Yeah, I put that story in the book if anyone's interested. The fact that it comes from 1902 and it predicts aliens arriving in 1948 is a wonderful coincidence.
And you think here, when you look at stuff like that, if Palmer got the eye or he got the lasso from Wonder Woman, he'd spill things that we couldn't imagine. I think there are things about Maury Island, even the original story, I wonder about, is that where Arnold goes to Tacoma and all the hotels are filled. He can't get a hotel room because of some event or something. And then he goes to this place, and they not only have a room, it's the one that was reserved in his name.
Mm-hmm.
And then yeah. I remember Arnold and Captain Smith, I believe. I'm remembering mm-hmm. something I read many years ago, where they were speculating that somebody was listening to them. Their room was bugged.
Yeah, and I think that if you compare the book to the original article, you can see how Palmer turned this into some kind of mystery a lot bigger than it actually was. I don't remember all the details offhand, but I encourage anyone to find the original in Amazing Stories and to compare it to the one in The Coming of the Saucers, and you can see how Ray Palmer's mind worked, you know. I was just going to say that one fact that I did pick up, and I put it in the book too, was that in 1954, Arnold claimed to have spent $12,000 investigating saucer reports from Mexico to Alaska, and that he'd recovered $2,500 from the sales of a book on the subject. And he did have his own pamphlet or booklet, which was called The Flying Saucer That I Saw, or whatever, which was 50 cents. And I doubt very much that he'd made $2,500 from selling 50-cent brochures. So maybe he did get some money from Palmer. It just wasn't what Doubleday had promised him, which was $50,000, you know. So, I mean, just to set the record straight, he did claim at some point that he did get some money back.
Well, maybe then we would have known the real story about Maury Island and not the version that Palmer concocted. Of course, we remember that when Shaver first came to Amazing Stories magazine and he had his Warning to Mankind material, Palmer rewrote much of Shaver's material to make it acceptable for a pulp sci-fi magazine. And eventually, I think Shaver became a fairly decent writer because he wrote some stuff for my magazine, and it was decently well written. It was grammatical. The spelling was correct. I mean, what more could you ask from writers? That's something that you don't always get when you're an editor. So I think in that sense, he did learn a lot from Palmer, but also was bitter about some things that Palmer did. And we can go past that now because this is not what we're going to do. I want to talk about what did Arnold see? What was the real shape? With Chris, Gene, and Tim, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
USA News update. Hamas is apparently holding off on releasing a second set of hostages as of today, saying Israel was not allowing enough aid trucks to Gaza. But now mediators say the situation has been worked out and Hamas will release 13 Israelis and 7 foreigners in exchange for 39 Palestinians. Pope Francis cleared his calendar today. The Vatican says he's under the weather a little bit. He spent some time in the hospital after coming down with what the Vatican describes as the mild flu. The 86-year-old pontiff underwent a CAT scan of his lungs, and officials say the results ruled out any respiratory problems. Back in April, the Pope spent 3 days in the hospital due to a bout with bronchitis. During that illness, the Vatican said he was having trouble breathing. Francis is scheduled to travel to Dubai on Friday for a conference on climate change, and the Vatican is not said if the plans have changed. Skip Kelly, USA News.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track, not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So our guest, Chris Aubeck, has two books out, and we'll get to the other one a little bit later, the one on alien artifacts. And we're talking now about saucers, and this is one where he's tracing the origins of disc-shaped UFOs. Now, one point you take a little time to develop here in your book, Chris, is what was the actual shape of the objects that Kenneth Arnold said he saw? Can you go into that?
Right, yeah. So what I decided to do was to piece together absolutely everything I could find that Kenneth Arnold had said, starting from his interview with Norden Skiff and William Beckett, when he went into the offices of the East Oregonian straight away after his sighting, all the way up to his death in 1984. And of course, there is an evolution there. He didn't stick to the same details throughout. But I think that we really have to look back at his first statements. I mean, the first thing he said regarding shape was that they were somewhat bat-shaped. That's the first time he actually uses a shape adjective. Before that, we don't get complete quotes from this 5-minute interview that he gave initially to Skiff and Beckett. He no doubt did say that they were flat as saucers, as flat as a pie pan. And what I do in the book is I look back at these terms, these expressions that he used, and I showed that, well, people actually used saucers and pie pans at the time as shape similes, not say shape similes, but as to indicate flatness, but not necessarily shape. So, for example, these days we say as flat as a pancake, but that doesn't mean that something's round. It just means that it's very flat like a pancake. We could be saying pizzas, or we could be saying any other thing. If you look back at old adverts, old publicity from the 1940s, they say things like the collar of a particular woman's coat, it could lay flat as a saucer. And that obviously wasn't round, it was a collar shaped. So what I'm saying is that his original statements didn't really indicate shape until later on in the same day he gave an interview to William Beckett, and he said they were somewhat bat-shaped. Then a couple of days later, he had another interview on the 27th of June 1947, in which he says that, well, they seem to remind him of the flying wing. And the flying wing was a craft, an aircraft being developed at that time by Northrop engineers. And it looked very similar to a boomerang. We would compare it to a boomerang today. Arnold never said boomerang. It's a myth that he compared them to boomerangs, and it's a myth you can find all over the internet. But the fact is that he said they reminded him of a flying wing. Apart from that, he compared them to half moons, quarter moons. The idea of a crescent came up several times. He doesn't say crescent. He talks about half moons, quarter moons, and so on, but that is basically a crescent shape as most people perceive one. If you put into Google Images quarter moon, half moon, you'll find a lot of crescents. And then, of course, he carried on saying that for a very long time, and then when it gets to 1950, this is when he says, well, it seems that journalists didn't understand me, because I never said I saw disc-shaped objects at all. And then when he had an airbrush picture made in 1950, it looks like a crescent. And what I say in the book is that it looks like something a superhero would ride into battle, because it looks like something that Moon Knight or Wonder Woman would fly through the sky. So I find that Kenneth Arnold's depiction of the objects that he saw, his description, was fairly consistent from June 1947 through to the early 1950s. And what I do is, when I present all his statements to the reader, I don't say, this is what you have to believe now. I say, you know, look at this. Put on your Sherlock Holmes deerstalker and pick up a magnifying glass and think about this for yourself. Because I think that it's a lot healthier to get the reader to participate in this and try to work out what Kenneth Arnold probably saw. The important thing, the bottom line, is he did not say he saw flying plate or pizza-shaped objects. And, you know, I mean, what I do in the book is I explain how the myth of the flying saucer started and how it spread from June 1947 onwards.
So when you talk about the possibility of a bat wing kind of shape, is there any possibility here, assuming, and that's the big assumption, that Arnold might have overestimated the speed of these objects? If he did that, could they have been something conventional?
Yeah, this is a theory that people, even in the 1947, immediately jumped to, because they thought, well, he must have seen an aircraft designed by our own military. However, at that time, there weren't nine bat-shaped or flying wings floating around in the sky over North America. The first drawing he produced, actually, around July the 12th, 1947, was in a letter to Army Air Force Intelligence. And then you can see a shape there that sort of looks like as if you'd taken a full moon, but you'd put a triangle part at the end of it. It's very different from what he drew later on. But it's virtually identical to the body of the flying flapjack which was another celebrity aircraft at the time. And this connection was also made in 1947. They said, but obviously this man saw a flying flapjack, or nine of them. But nine flying flapjacks did not exist at that time. So whatever he saw could not have been a conventional aircraft. It could not have been one of ours. And that's why, of course, people also speculated that maybe it was the Japanese, the Russians, the Germans, of course, because this was 1947 and it was just after the war. But it was also the beginning of the Cold War. So there was quite a lot of paranoia for a time that maybe he saw something that was spying on North America, or maybe even missiles being prepared to attack us. But, these theories died out.
Is it possible over the years that, like anybody else, after reading so much about what he saw, which was obviously for a short period of time, his memory of what he witnessed altered somewhat?
Absolutely. It's impossible to think that he retained a clear memory of what he saw. His memory was as fallible as anybody's. What he saw, what was like three and a half minutes. I do magic tricks in my English classes as an English teacher, and I sometimes speak to my students 6 months later or even a week later and say, tell me what I did. Do you remember what I did? And they invent something that way more impossible than what I've actually done, whether it was to make a coin disappear or whatever, because our memories are indeed very fallible. He didn't have a camera with him. He didn't make a drawing, as far as we know, immediately when he landed. So he was struggling to retain the shape in his mind.
We'll have more with Chris and Gene and Tim. Lots more. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
If you love mysteries, you'll love these two books by Tim R. Swartz and Sean Castile. In Mimics, The Others Among Us, you'll learn about the strange beings that can look like us, but are not. In Alien Artifacts, Incredible Evidence of Exotic Material from UFO Encounters, you'll see the hard evidence of UFOs that has been ignored or even hidden. These books will definitely blow your mind, and both are now available on Amazon.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. DanPilla.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to produce an endless supply of nano-sized silver solutions right from the convenience of your home. Silver Lung. With the addition of our unique lung delivery system, respiratory infections are targeted directly, where traditional oral administration simply cannot reach. This pioneering method also preserves the original particle sizes and delivers your silver solution directly into the bloodstream. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past 2 years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco user can buy a $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110. Guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. That's 800-430-1891.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few highlights. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I have been using Extendivite for many years. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
I would assume also here that Kenneth Arnold, like everybody else, had their mind filled with pop culture.
Yeah.
That could also fill what he saw. And as you said, maybe he looked at these things and his interpretation may have been a little bit off. And when you add everything together, you have something there, but we don't know what it is quite as much as we'd like. Obviously, if there were 10 witnesses present, we could average out their reactions and get something. Of course, this is also explains why I always find it difficult to look into something like the Roswell case, because the memories of what happened were not brought forth until over 30 years later by Friedman, William Moore, Charles Berlitz for that book on Roswell. And you look at pop culture, you look at all the things that happened over the years, and you think, how close are we getting to the real event? And there were lots of variations in the testimony. It's really was a nightmare, I think, for people like Don Schmidt and Kevin Randall to investigate.
Yeah, that's right. Just to mention the flying flapjack connection again, which is also the title of my chapter 18. It's interesting that, of course, Kenneth Arnold was an aviator. He was fascinated by airplanes. So many of his friends were pilots. He was quite up to date on the latest technology, the latest designs coming out. And it was May 1947. I mean, his sighting was in June. May 1947, the magazine Mechanics Illustrated had an article. It was front page thing. You can see there the same shape that he drew for the Air Force on the cover of the magazine. This object was compared to a saucer, which is something that I knew that people had spoken about the flapjack connection before, but when I actually got to read it, it says textually that the flapjack was a queer saucer-shaped object on two long stilted legs. And it was called the flying flapjack, and there was also another one called the flying pancake because of their disc-like shape. So this idea wasn't beyond the realms of the impossible at the time. And when people heard that he'd seen disc-shaped objects, it was pretty clear that everyone was able to imagine this. In fact, in the book, I quote from Mechanics Illustrated. They say, "So don't be amazed when one of these days you hear a whistling sound from the sky and you see a blurred circular object scaling across the heavens at a speed never before attained by man." And I've taken that quote and I put it with a sort of background with a flying flapjack flying over a house. And the point is that anybody reading those magazines... And these days, of course, very few people are going to read aviation magazines unless you're really into planes. But at the time, this kind of invention was, they were like celebrities in a sense. People were reading about it, fascinated by what had been developed for World War II. And people were ready to read about circular, saucer-shaped objects. So whether Kenneth Arnold used the word saucer in his initial interview or not, this kind of shape has already entered pop culture. And this also came after decades of the disc shape appearing in pulp fiction, in comics. It had been used so often on the covers of magazines, that science fiction magazines, the 1920s and 30s, that people were ready for it.
So where's the original? What are we basing this on? What is the original saucer or whatever?
So this is the next part of my book, I suppose. So, well, at least one of them. Well, what I did was to, after putting Arnold's statements together, I look into historical cases. And firstly, I have two chapters on historical sightings, very similar to what I did with Jacques Vallée in 2010, but cases that we didn't publish at the time. And those chapters discuss objects of all kinds of shapes and sizes. And then I have two chapters on objects that seem to be disc-shaped. At least they were circular, some of them were flat, and so on. But none of them really mattered in the sense that people weren't aware of them. They were not popular. They didn't change anything. They didn't enter pop culture. But what I discovered about 20 years ago was that the expression flying saucer had already been invented. It had been coined around the year 1880 when in trap shooting and skeet, shooters had, they were forced to give up firing at birds because people felt that it was very cruel to kill birds or to breed birds just for the purpose of killing them in this very popular sport. Of course, trap shooting and skeet was so popular at the end of the 19th century, the beginning of the 20th century, more popular than golf and tennis and football. It was like a main sport in North America, although we've forgotten about that these days. Anyway, in 1880, an inventor called George Ligowski designed a clay disc that if you shot it, it would scatter the clay particles all over the fields, but it wouldn't cause any big problems in the environment. And people called them flying saucers. So when I discovered this about 20 years ago, I began talking to colleagues in the UFO field, and they didn't really take it very seriously. They said, well, it seems like you found five or six references to flying saucers. It's just a coincidence and so on. So I spent 20 years looking at this, and I discovered that flying saucer, the expression flying saucer, was so common in the 1880s, 1890s, but hundreds of references to flying saucers throughout the North American newspapers, everywhere. Then in 1943, the game of trap shooting was forbidden because the American military said we should use all our ammunition, all our weapons for the war effort, World War II. So nobody could trap shoot anymore, but the military did hire a lot, I mean hundreds of the best trap shooters to train their own gunners, who would then have an advantage as they flew over Europe and Nazi Germany and attacked Nazis in their planes. So the what we find is, and this is something that has amazed a lot of people, that in around 1943-44, American soldiers were talking about flying saucers. The American military was using the expression flying saucers, and these were simply these discs that were used to train their own gunners. And another odd thing that I found was that General Henry H. Arnold was a name that was associated with this practice of hiring trap shooters and destroying flying saucers. So in a period of 3 years, people switched from associating flying saucers with General Henry H. Arnold to flying saucers to Kenneth Arnold, a completely different Arnold. And by the 1950s, nobody seemed to remember any of this. But what I show in the book was that hundreds of thousands of people, probably half a million, more than a million, it's very hard to estimate, would have already been incredibly familiar with the term flying saucer in June 1947. So when newspapers picked up on this expression in June and July because of Arnold's sighting, they just spread like wildfire. Oh, this guy saw flying saucers. Oh, that's so funny. The term that we've been using for 60 years, I bet they were really small. And, of course, if you look back at that time, nobody knew how big flying saucers, that is the alien spacecraft, could be. And many people thought they really were saucer-sized and saucer-shaped because of the association with the sport. And that is what really helped the term flying saucer spread through North America.
We have Chris, we have Gene, we have Tim. You're in
the Pedicast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, listeners, I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.